This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
All right, folks, hour number two is upon us. Myself, Richard Battle, joining us now as he does every Wednesday. Richard, how's your hump day, middle of the week going?
John, we're doing great. Thank you so much for having us again.
Always a joy having you. Our traditions are our culture and the glue holding us together. Let's talk about it, because it's very important, by the way.
Well, yes, and I don't think any time in our lifetimes we've had all of our traditions and culture under attack simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And they're the unique things that have held us together for 200-plus years. And if all of them are destroyed, then we are not the United States. We're just an ordinary country like so many others around the world. And that's the threat that we have, and our duty is going to be to try to protect and defend those traditions and culture.
All right, so let's get into it. We've got several we can go through. Let's talk about the founding of the country.
Well, yes, we could spend 2 or 3 hours talking about all this, but, you know, our Declaration of Independence is so unique because it was logical and not emotional like the French Revolution was. And it changed our representation, not our culture, whereas the people today who are trying to change our country are trying to change our culture and representation, not just our representation.
That's a great point. And out of that came the Constitution, which is the foundation, really, of the country.
Well, and the most important thing that we overlook, the states created the federal government. But yet the federal government is at war with the states, and since at least 1913 has seized state power over and over and over again. And my hope is that an issue like this voting rights bill that they're pushing in Washington will unite the states in opposition to the federal government and reinstitute federalism.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I realize the Civil War was in some ways, not always, about slavery, but really what it was about is what you just said a moment ago. It was the federal government trying to dictate to states what to do, and the states fighting back saying, no, feds, we want to be on our own.
Yes, that is certainly true, and of course, there's been so much of an effort to mix or obscure that particular piece of the Civil War and make it just about slavery when it was much more complex than that.
Yeah, and again, folks, I want to make sure we understand that. It really was about what Richard was talking about a moment ago. We are a country built of states that then form the federal government. It's not the federal government forming the states. I think, Richard, a lot of folks get that backwards.
Well, and because our federal government pushes that now.
That's
they
right.
They want to set themselves up to be the rescuer of first resort versus last resort, and they've seized and expanded and grabbed power so much.
Yeah.
In 1913, when the direct election of senators and the establishment of the Federal Reserve were two huge things that totally changed our country.
Yeah, and again, folks, the Civil War was about certain states wanting to secede from all of that, and that's where things really got fired up. And again, I realize slavery was a part of that, Richard, but I think we get it wrong when we say that the Civil War was only about slavery. It wasn't.
Yes, that is correct. And, of course, then we go look at the addition of the Bill of Rights to the Constitution, and that limited government because the founders knew that too much power in too few hands would be corrupt, which that is why they didn't have term limits for Congress because they never dreamed that people would want to go to Washington and stay for an entire career, because at that time no one could afford to do so.
Yeah, they had other jobs, other things, other lives, if you would, outside of that. They didn't want to make government their only life, their only job, and they didn't want to make a career out of that. And again, make sure we remind everybody, the Bill of Rights was the founders' way of saying, wait a minute, time out. These rights are not coming from us. They're not coming from a federal or state government. These are the rights that come from God, your creator, not from us.
Yes, that's true. And the three big ones to me, of course, are free speech, our right to bear arms, and our right for private property. And those are all under threat by Marxist-type people who want to take that away from us. And the right to have private property is essential to freedom and free enterprise.
The other thing that's under attack right now, and this just is a, something that's like fingers on a chalk, fingernails on a chalkboard to me, is when people talk about, you know, democracy, you know, January 6th was a threat to our democracy, blah, 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 blah. The reality is we have a limited representative republic. We don't have a democracy, and we need to make sure we keep it that way.
Yes, because that protects the minority from the majority abuse, and that's the big difference. And it is not an accident that they're pushing this democracy term.
That's right.
And trying to get rid of the Electoral College, because they want to make a public that's more sensitive and emotional, that can be swayed, like with COVID, with fear, and that they can move very quickly how they want them to move.
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially as conservatives. This is one of those words that I feel like as conservatives, even those that give speeches in public and things along those lines, to eliminate that word democracy. And if they use it in the right context. You know, we have a democratic form of government, but we do not have a total democracy. We need to make sure we keep that word out of our vocabulary, Richard, because otherwise it's going to be used against us someday if we're not careful.
That is true. And if you'll remember Benjamin Franklin when he left the Constitutional Convention, the lady asked him, what kind of government have you given us, Dr. Franklin? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it.
Yep. E pluribus unum. Let's talk about that.
Well, assimilation. Yes, we're a nation of immigrants and have been for a long time. But until recently, all of the immigrants came in, assimilated. They wanted to be Americans, not people from their home country. And E pluribus unum is out of many one. That was the incentive for that. And I don't know when it started, but everyone used to have to be citizens of the United States. And when they took the oath, they took an oath to the United States. And now all of a sudden there are people with citizenship in two or three countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's right. I think if you're an American, you need to have one citizenship only.
Right.
If you want to have citizenship in another country, you forfeit your American citizenship.
I agree with you, by the way. Free enterprise. I'm an entrepreneur, so are you. I look at free enterprise as one of those things that's, you know, just continually under attack. In fact, we talk about that a little bit in the National Crawford Roundtable. If you guys want to hear some of even my thoughts on some of that, we talk about cryptocurrency and other things in the roundtable. But we got into really this whole idea of entrepreneurism and free enterprise and so on, Richard. And I think it's one of those things, too, that, by the way, and correct me if I'm wrong, Richard, but not only has it been under attack from politicians, it's been under attack from the left and from the communist movement. But bear with me here, Richard. I also think the church attacks it as well, and they shouldn't.
Well, I think there's some of that for sure, and free enterprise is under attack like never before. And the government goes out of its way to punish success and work ethic and deferred gratification, all the things that built this country, where people use their individual initiative and their individual capital, that they put at risk to go out and build things. And our government attacks that relentlessly.
Yep.
And we can go all the way back to the Pilgrims. They initially set up a socialistic economic system, and they found out
work.
The first year that the lazy people wouldn't work, but
that's
they
right.
wanted to be fed.
That's right.
And then they converted to free enterprise, and everyone knew they had to work if they wanted to eat.
Well, and let me explain why I think even at times the church, and I'm not saying any specific denomination, I'm just saying church in general, Catholic, Protestant, doesn't matter. I think at times, Richard, they tend to paint those that have done well, those that have, you know, been in the free market, that, you know, had businesses or have businesses and have made something of themselves. I think at times even the church paints those guys into that, well, the love of money is the root of all evil, and they try to throw those guys into it. And that's what I mean by the church at times attacking free enterprise, and they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, there is some of that, but I think one of the things unique about our country, there's been more charitable actions by rich people and big businesses than any country in the world. And that's something people overlook. They want to tax them when you're already giving money to the Little League and donating money in their communities and doing all kinds of charitable things all the time, and yet they're being attacked and they're never being thanked for being good community stewards.
This goes to the Judeo-Christian heritage that, whether they want to admit it or not, Richard, did, you know, was formed, you know, our country was formed on that. Western civilization actually was formed on that. And really, to me, it dovetails into one another, free enterprise and that Christian heritage both.
Well, yes. Religion, art, architecture, abolition of slavery, philosophy, all these things that we have came out of the development of Western civilization, from Europe into the United States, and so many things that have been accomplished over time with free Western civilization. But yet the people attacking it want to attack it because it was white people.
Yep.
And they want to make it about race, not about culture and traditions.
Let's talk about holidays for a moment, and one of them I'm going to start with is, I hate when we call Independence Day, the 4th of July. I'm a big fan, and I know this would take an act of God and Congress to change this, but I really feel like Independence Day should be like Thanksgiving. It should be on the first Friday of every July, should be celebrated as Independence Day, not July 4th, because if you did it my way, it wouldn't always be July 4th. It might be July 7th, for example, but I really feel like we need to get back to calling it what it is.
Well, absolutely, and again, they're watering it down on July 4th. And people very quickly forget what it means other than getting a day off of work and having hot dogs and hamburgers over a cookout. And so you're right. We need to call it Independence Day, and we need to educate people what that meant and what price was paid to give that to us and what price has been paid to maintain it over these last 200 years.
And which goes into some of the other holidays as well. The price was paid Christmas, Easter, Hanukkah, Columbus Day. I mean, every one of those, there is a price tag with it.
Yes, and they're all under attack, and people are trying to either abolish them, replace them, or water them down so we do not recognize them for what they are.
That's right. Again, great topic, Richard. This is, solid stuff. Give us a quote, something that you can leave us with as we head into the rest of the week.
Well, one of my favorites is Harry S. Truman, who drove himself home after he left the presidency without any Secret Service. And he said, "You can't get rich in politics unless you're a crook." And it just goes to show it doesn't matter what party. There are crooks in both parties, and there's honest people in both parties.
Agreed.
And we need to get rid of the career politicians and go back to citizen representation, where people will be less likely to become crooked.
Richard, always a joy having you. Really appreciate it very much. We'll talk again next week, but enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you. God bless you, sir.
Likewise, and God bless America. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Richard. RoofMax coming up next. Dave Hart, by the way, great guy, knows how to work, knows how to take care of your roof. We'll look at it thoroughly, tell you what you need. Can he apply the RoofMax treatment to it and make it last longer? Or are there other mechanical things, physical things that you need done? If so, he can do that as well. Find him at 303-710-6916, or better yet, go to rushtoreason.com and look for RoofMax.
RoofMax is the fountain of youth for your roof. 90% of roofs replaced nationwide no longer need to be replaced, which would drastically reduce the materials in the landfills and resources from our planet to manufacture new shingles. By keeping your shingles in like-new condition, RoofMax is seeing on a national level a huge increase in protection against hail and wind damage. Most shingles these days are only getting 6 to 8 years of life before they start to dry out, lose the protective granules, and experience thermal cracking. With the RoofMax treatment, you can get a lot more life out of your roof. In most cases, RoofMax will add 15 years or more, saving you thousands of dollars and drastically reducing the number of insurance claims, which helps everyone keep insurance premium costs down. Call today at 303-710-6916 to schedule your free roof assessment. And be sure to mention you heard about them on KLZ to receive $100 off your RoofMax treatment.
All right, folks, the all-in-one loan. We talked a little bit about this with Jordan Goodman yesterday. In fact, Jordan and I were emailing back and forth even today talking about the all-in-one loan. He's very familiar with it, and it really is the best of both worlds. We talked yesterday about a HELOC and a traditional mortgage, how you can use that to get your mortgage paid down faster. Just go to the all-in-one loan. It's a much easier way to do it, and Kurt Rogers can explain how all of that works. Call him today at 720-895-0500.
Rates are low, but are you still paying too much interest? Why continue to pay most of your interest up front like a conventional loan when you can use the asset manager to save thousands in unnecessary interest costs? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. The asset manager is a simple interest loan, which means when your payoff decreases, your payment decreases, and so does your interest. Our clients are paying off their home in half the time. They're not changing their spending habits, and they have access to their equity for 30 years, even after it's paid off. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Think about it. This simple interest loan allows you to own your home faster, access your equity for 30 years, which means never having to refinance over and over and over again to pay off debts or for home improvements. No more requalifying, no more additional cost. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. And see for yourself. You're in control, not the bank. NMLS 298191, regulated by DOR, Equal Credit Lender.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, folks, welcome back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And I didn't really have this in my notes today, but I got a text message from one of you that this is a perfect time for me to put it in, so I'm going to. The King Super Strike. Yes, it started today. No, I have no sympathy for those on the picket line. Sorry, I just don't, folks. Throw the sign down, go back to work, call it good. And by the way, they're lying to you on the picket lines. They were lying to you in the stores, by the way, prior to now, because I've been reading some of the comments that have been made on some of these social media sites, Nextdoor and others, where some of the King Supers workers were even talking about what they were striking over, and they weren't even correct in what they were saying. So somebody texted me this. I went to the, I won't say which King Super store, and there was a few strikers. They were telling people that the wage in Denver was $12.79. By the way, minimum wage in Denver is much higher than that, so that's a lie. Please don't shop, they said. This person walks in, immediately hit with a sign that has been up for at least 2 months, offering starting wages of $18 an hour. So this person says maybe these idiots should apply for a job at this store where they're offering $47,000 a year to watch people check themselves out. Not feeling the pain, is this texter's comments. I'm not either, by the way. I think it's a crock, frankly. And there's people out there online, you know, complaining about what the CEO makes for wages and, you know, that, you know, they're reaping in all these huge profits. I said this the other day and I looked it up again to make sure I was correct. They're working off of a net profit of about 1.4%. Not 14%, 1.4%. 4% is their net. Now, is that still a lot of money when you do the billions of dollars of revenue they do? Sure it is. But in retrospect to a lot of other industries, 1.4 isn't much. In fact, if I was coaching you and you had a business that was only netting 1.4%, we'd be making major changes because it's not enough. Now, they can get by with that because of their volume and what they do, and we all know their model, but again, folks, no, they're not raking in, you know, gazillions of dollars based upon a high profit margin at the end of the day. So, no, that is incorrect. So that's another lie that's going on all over social media. That's not true at all. They'll also tell you that, you know, workers aren't making enough money and they didn't get the bonuses they deserve because they're frontline workers and blah, 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 blah. And you all know my feelings on the frontline worker. Crap. That's exactly what it is. They're no more a frontline worker than I am, than anybody else is. They work in a grocery store. They stock shelves. They help check people out. And by the way, I'm not diminishing those jobs any way, shape, or form. We need them. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with one of those jobs. You know, by no means am I saying that. But what I'm saying is, are they frontline workers and should they have special recognition because of it? No. No more than the guy at the convenience store or the guy that's working on your car or. I can go down the list. It's a job. It's what you signed up for. Go do it. And shut up and take your paycheck. Yeah, I know I sound harsh, but gosh darn it. These unions are screwing everything up. Nothing will come out of this other than you paying more money for groceries at Kroger when this is all said and done. Big inconvenience to you, the shopper, at the end of the day. So do I have disdain for picket lines? Absolutely I do. I read comments today on Facebook about, you know, my dad was always in the union and I realized what they did for him and I'm not crossing a picket line. Well, good for you. You know, do you want a pin or you know, what do you want a ribbon? What do you want because of that? I really don't care. I don't care what you did in your past or what your dad did or what union they were with. These are different times today. First of all, I'll be the first to say it. Kroger doesn't need a union. They need workers that'll show up stock shelves and check people out. I want to know when I'm going to get extra pay for checking myself out, by the way, at all these places I go to. Costco, King Supers, Walmart, you name it. When do I get my vacation pay? Because I'm that impatient guy that won't wait in line that'll go up and check themselves out because I can't stand waiting in line behind all the knuckleheads in line trying to get their pack of gum. Yeah, that's me. I'm that guy. I'll be the first to admit it. Yeah, anybody that knows me knows I am not Mr. Patience at all. I have very little, if any. I want things done now, yesterday even. So no, I won't wait in lines. Yes, I'll cross the picket line. Anytime, any place, it doesn't matter. I don't care what it is. I don't care who it's over because I have a disdain for unions as well. Because frankly, all unions do is suck money out of the workers' pocket and then give it to the left so that we can all get more screwed up at the end of the day. I hate unions. Flat out, hate them. Nothing about them is good. Nothing. And no, you can't call in and convince me otherwise, so don't try. They do nothing at the end of the day other than screw up the market. They're unneeded. They're unnecessary. They're a thing of the past. They need to go away. We have laws in this country that protect workers, and they have rights, and no, unions don't do anything to help in any of that. All unions do, like I said a moment ago, let me remind everybody, is suck money out of workers' pockets so they can go help feed liberal politicians and get them elected. That's what they do. And the cycle continues, by the way. So, no, I will not shop at King Supers. I'll be there when I need something. Is it someplace I normally go? Not always. My wife does most of that, but I'll go there occasionally. I actually have a disdain for grocery stores in general. I hate them. I'll go to Costco, buy bulk, and not have to go there. And I'll work around even some of the things that, you know, they don't have in bulk and still make it work. I just have a disdain, again, I think mainly because it's congested, it's tight, there's crap everywhere, there's people everywhere, there's Karens everywhere, and then I got to still check myself out at the end of the day. I know I'm whining, but I'm the host. I can do that from time to time. Thank you, by the way, for texting that in because you have a great point. They're lying on the picket line. They're lying on social media. The union is frankly lying at the end of the day. There's nothing wrong with any of these workers or their rights. Get back to work. Bruce Simmons is next, by the way. He's our reverse mortgage specialist. And as we talked to Jordan Goodman again yesterday, one thing we didn't get to was reverse mortgages and how they can potentially help you in your financial future. This is one of those tandem things where, really, talk to Bruce. I'm going to do this way, by the way. Talk to Bruce. Golden Eagle is going to be right up after Bruce Simmons. And really, use these two guys together. And I mean that sincerely. Talk to Bruce about a reverse mortgage. And once you get all that dialed in, then go talk to Al Smith at Golden Eagle Financial and see how these two things, these two gentlemen, by the way, can work together and make things work out for you financially moving forward, because they do go hand in hand if it's applicable to you. So talk to Bruce first, and once you do, then go talk to Al Smith. You can find both of these guys at klzradio.com.
Ask Bruce Simmons to explain how a reverse mortgage line of credit could lock in your home's value. You've been hearing about the potential for housing prices to start dropping, but so far, all you've done is gain more value. A reverse mortgage line of credit eliminates the fear of decreasing home values. No matter what happens to the housing market, your reverse mortgage line of credit won't lose a penny. Let's say your value continues to increase over the next few years. No problem. Call Bruce back to refinance at the new, higher value for even more benefit. But should your home lose value, say we hit another recession like in 2008, you have the peace of mind that you still have the full amount of your line of credit guaranteed. Bruce Simmons has been doing nothing but reverse mortgages for 18 years. Ask him to explain how it works. KLZradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
Don't let the IRS define your retirement. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, will help you develop a long-term strategy so that less of your income will be taxed. Depending on your age, your income could be nearly tax-free by the time you reach 72. Timing matters. You need a financial advisor who specializes in creating tax-efficient retirement plans. An initial visit with Al will establish what you want your retirement to look like, how much income you'll need, and your risk tolerance. Through patient listening, Al can assist you in creating a plan that's based on your unique circumstances while allowing for unforeseen events that may require increased income. Learn how your retirement can become tax efficient. KLZradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC registered investment advisor.
All right, folks, G-Reminders, get rid of those no-shows on your calendar. I say it all the time, and I mean it. We use it here. I do personally. It's very, very easy to set up. And by the way, once you set it up and you know how to use it, it's seamless. You're not dinking with it at all. It just reminds your people of what's coming up on their calendar, which, by the way, is on yours as well. G-Reminders, find them at RushToReason.com and look for G-Reminders.
G-Reminders will make sure your day goes according to plan. You're an accountant gearing up for tax season, scheduling clients back to back. One client forgets about the meeting and doesn't show up. You don't have any opportunities to reschedule, so now you've lost that income. Get rid of missed appointments for good. G-Reminders will send out customizable text messages to your customers before every meeting. Simply enter their name into your calendar and watch your day go according to schedule. KLZ listeners receive 10% off the first year at greminders.com/KLZ. That's the letter G, reminders.com/KLZ. No more no-shows.
This isn't rage radio. This is real, relatable radio. Back to Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Charlie's getting our next guest rounded up, and a couple people texted me and said, so I guess, John, that means you're not a Teamster. No, folks, I'm not a Teamster. But our next guest joining us, which actually I reached out to, that doesn't normally happen here. Normally we have guests that are always reaching out to us, but in this case, I reached out to Rebecca Terrell. So, Rebecca, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you being gracious and joining us. I read your article on thenewamerican.com, and for those of you that haven't read that, I would encourage you to do so. The article is titled The Biggest Medical Experiment in History, and as I read it, Rebecca, you are really just, you know, solidifying things we've been talking about on this show now for a year and a half, roughly, and not that I had any proof of it, but it was just a hunch I had. All you've done is solidify my hunches.
Well, your hunches are exactly right, and truly, when I was writing it, I kind of felt that way. I felt like I was doing an expose of the past year or two. You know, it's very, very obvious by the proof that we have right in front of our noses that the biggest medical experiment is going on in history, is going on right now. But I'm not the one who's called it that. The experts behind the technology used in these vaccines are calling it that.
Okay, explain, because I know it's in the article, but explain to our listeners what you mean by that.
Well, first of all, the mRNA technology that's used in the COVID vaccines is based on research conducted by Dr. Robert Malone back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the research goes back that far, but it's still certainly in experimental phases, and it has a lot of great applications in medical use. It's been researched to help correct genetic disorders.
Correct.
It's been researched also as chemotherapy.
I was going to say, it's also cancer. Come out of the cancer world, correct?
Right, exactly.
Okay. That's what
and,
I thought.
And it has great implications for that. I feel like it's a great, just yet another casualty of COVID-19 that it's now the mRNA technology is being demonized because it's being pushed on us without any safety and efficacy data. We haven't had time to have true safety and efficacy data. These novel vaccines for a supposedly novel virus have only been out for a year.
Right.
They were fast-tracked.
Yeah, I think people really need to understand that these things were fast-tracked. I did some things on social media not that long ago and got some pushback from some liberals on it, and they tried to give me some data that what I was putting out wasn't correct. And, of course, I can immediately come back and say, well, actually it is, because this thing was fast-tracked like none others. You know, no animal studies. The groups that they had were very, very short. The placebo group joined back in with the regular group after not a lot of time. I mean, you know the story there, Rebecca, and I'm not saying anything most people, you know, can't go out and research for themselves. These are factual things that you put in your article and that I just said.
Absolutely. And I actually have a nursing background. Obviously, I don't work in the healthcare field anymore, and I'm really kind of glad about that. But never in history has a vaccine ever been developed this quickly. And, I mean, this is exponentially fast. Think about Anthony Fauci's history at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. 40 years they haven't been able to come up with a vaccine for HIV. And yet they have this novel virus, and they come up with a vaccine within a year.
Right.
To put it out for public consumption within a year.
I really, and again, part of my hunches all along were that, I'm not saying that everybody that's been involved in this has had, you know, nefarious things going on, and that they're looking at it, you know, the way that I'm probably even going to explain it. But I do feel like there were a lot of powers that be, Rebecca, that looked at this as a grand opportunity to try some testing, really have the biggest test group in the world's history, and try to figure out exactly how it works using every one of them as guinea pigs. That's how I have seen this from the get-go.
And, you know, I think the travesty has been the FDA claims that it just doesn't have the personnel and the resources to release the documents it used to approve the Pfizer vaccine, which was the first vaccine that it approved for emergency use authorization. What? You can develop a vaccine in that short amount of time and you don't have the resources and personnel available to release the paperwork involved? That flies in the face of sanity.
Right.
You know?
No, you're right. I fully agree. Real quick, if you can explain, because again, this is another thing that, you know, I've even had discussions on this program about, you know, is this really a vaccine? What should we call it? I know that the names have even been changed, you know, definition wise to call what we have a vaccine. And I get that it's not truly a vaccine. And yet that's what, you know, it's what we have to really, I shouldn't say we have to call it that, but that's the name. That's whatever, you know, it's like a Slurpee. I mean, yeah, it comes from 7-Eleven. I get it, but there's Icy's or Slurpees. There's all sorts of other names for them. I get it. But at the end of the day, everybody knows what a Slurpee is. I think this is a similar situation to that, although this is not a traditional vaccine, correct?
It's not a traditional vaccine because traditional vaccines, of course, inject either a live or attenuated, which is a weakened virus into your system. And that makes your system, your immune system, produce antibodies. And the next time your body is exposed environmentally to the virus, your antibodies identify it immediately and take care of it and prevent you from getting sick or prevent the sickness from being severe.
Correct.
That's not what this does. mRNA technology uses lipid nanoparticles. Nanoparticles just means tiny, almost atomic-sized particles to convey a package of information, a little mRNA molecule in there to code for, to teach your cells in your body to code for a protein.
To make the protein, right?
To make the protein. And the theory is that your immune system will see that protein as a foreign substance. It will create antibodies. And that the next time you are exposed environmentally to the real COVID virus, it will identify the spike protein on the COVID virus and prevent you from getting sick. That's the theory.
Right.
We're not seeing that play out in this big experiment, but they're denying the lab results. You know, they just they keep pushing the vaccine mandate. Now, the problem is, and what the problem that I ran into in writing this article was I wanted to quote a lot of really good sources, and there are so many good people out there trying to get the truth out, but they're using the term, they're saying this isn't a vaccine, which is true in the traditional sense, but they're calling it gene therapy.
It's not that either.
Not gene,
no, it is not.
Either.
That's right. It is not. It and is, I think that's right. I think that's very important to make sure people understand that as well, because while there's been lots of study and things done on gene therapy, that's not what this is.
That's right. And the reason it's so important, people could say, oh, you're just, you know, semantics. No, it's important because the fact checkers, we don't want to give the fact checkers any fuel for their fire.
Right.
Gene therapy actually goes in and replaces genes. No, it's used for things like genetic abnormalities.
Right. Deformities, things along those lines, right?
Yes, blindness, childhood blindness.
Right.
Say congenital blindness.
Right.
They've actually replaced the defective genes in children and restored their sight. So that, and this, it's wonderful technology. And it's terrible that it's being demonized because of its relation to, its actual false relation to COVID vaccines.
Right.
But you
right.
can understand why it is, and you can understand why people want to call COVID vaccines gene therapy, because they want another legitimate term for it. They don't want to use the terminology of the insiders who are pushing this agenda.
I agree. You are partly why I wanted to have you on after reading this. I think it's very important to make folks understand that. The other thing, too, that's happening with all of this, as we know, and I had somebody actually text me today on this and ask, you know, when is the real truth going to come out about what the vaccines are actually doing to certain individuals? And we know it's not every individual that's having adverse effects, Rebecca. The problem, though, is there is enough that are, that in a traditional vaccine development, this thing would have been pulled immediately, but we're not, because frankly, Rebecca, we're not making it well known, you know, in the press, the media, other places, we're not making it well known what the real side effects are.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, in the history of drugs before the COVID vaccines, 5 reported deaths. That doesn't mean they had to be confirmed. That's just reported deaths associated with a drug would mean that the FDA would require manufacturers to put a black box warning on their product. A black box warning is the strongest warning the FDA requires before actually just simply pulling the drug from the market altogether. That's 5 deaths.
We've had far more than that, by the way. And we there, you know, and you know, there's estimates that are even way higher than what's reported, because we all know that the majority of them don't get reported. Doctors and hospitals don't use the VAERS system like they should. I mean, these are things that are very, very well known. And I don't care who out there wants to poo-poo that. You can poo-poo it all day long, Rebecca, but what I just said is a fact.
Well, what you just said is a fact, and it's actually proven by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. It's a famous report called the Lazarus Report, where they discovered that roughly, that they estimate 1% of severe adverse effects are actually reported to VAERS. And what you mentioned, VAERS stands for the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and that is a coordinated effort between the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the FDA, which is the arm of the government that approves drugs.
Right.
So, and they've always used that as the litmus test. That gives them early warning indicators. The funny thing is, when the COVID vaccines were first put out and VAERS started getting ding, 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 lots of adverse events being reported, about a month later, CDC came out and said, oh, none of those were related to the vaccines. It takes months. Again, you know, it's a situation where enough time has not gone by for you to be able to investigate those cases and truly factually determine if they do have to do a vaccine or not.
And in turn, and this is what I want to get to, is, you know, and in turn, we're now, you know, and by the way, real quick, can you stay a second segment? We'll have to take a break in a minute, but can you stay a second segment with us? Okay, I'd love to do that. We'll take a quick break here in a moment and do that. But where I want to go with this is, in turn, we're now doing multiple boosters, and we're getting kids on this bandwagon. I don't understand why we're going down that path. I want to talk to you more about that. So, again, hang tight. Rebecca Terrell is with us. We'll come right back. She wrote a great article in thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com, by the way. And if you want to find that, you can go there, look it up. And it's titled The Biggest Medical Experiment in History. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air is coming up next, folks. And please don't rely on folks that aren't experts, that don't know what they're doing. Absolute can take care of all of your needs on the HVAC and electrical side. And don't forget, if you get a furnace this month in January, that air purification UV light is included. KLZradio.com, 720-526-0231.
Back when he had one service van and no money, Lewis knew he had one shot at success: happy customers. A lot of HVAC companies offer what Lewis likes to call the taillight guarantee, meaning once you watch them drive away, you're not getting any more help. Even before Absolute became an HVAC company, back when they only offered electrical services, Lewis made a different kind of promise. From the call to your care, we'll be there 24/7. To this day, you can ask anyone at Absolute about their top priority as a company, and they will start talking about customer service. Lewis never lost sight of that one key to success as he continued to add new services. Even now that Absolute offers boiler services, a famously hard-to-find skill set known for unresponsive technicians, Lewis only hires people who commit to their customers long-term. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air will come back long after their taillights disappear. Schedule an appointment 24 hours a day, 365 days a year at AbsoluteFix.com.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Before you sell a house, you clean up the front to maximize the sale price with curb appeal. Before you sell a business, you get organized so buyers can see their potential earnings clearly. Buyers want to purchase an investment, not a job. To make your company more attractive to a buyer, your business needs to run smoothly without you. Hire John Rush as your personal business coach before you sell to maximize your profits. Email John at rushtoreason.com for one free session.
Catherine and Robin love their jobs because they help seniors move into homes they never thought they could afford. Most real estate agents would have no idea how to help you qualify for affordable housing. And even the ones who know how probably wouldn't extend the effort. To be frank, realtors make a smaller commission on affordable housing contracts, so most agents wouldn't put in the time. But Catherine and Robin have found these to be some of the most rewarding home sales they've ever closed. Seniors who were stuck in large homes with multiple levels and too much property maintenance are able to move into brand new condos. Now, qualifying is a bit complicated, but that's where KLZ's real estate team comes in. Catherine and Robin work with a lender who specializes in affordable housing, so they oversee the entire qualification process along with all of the real estate contracts. They know what they're doing. Call the only team of two dedicated realtors who will help you qualify for affordable housing. 720-437-8210. 720-437-8210. Catherine Pickering and Robin Lewis Oglesby, K and R Home Transitions, powered by Worth Clark Realty.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we are back. Thanks for holding on for us. We really appreciate that. Rebecca Terrell is with us. She wrote an article again, if you're just joining us. And if you missed any of that last segment with Rebecca, you can find it on our podcast on our website later this evening as well. But the biggest medical experiment in history, it's thenewamerican.com. And Rebecca, again, thank you for staying on through the break. I really do appreciate that. But I left you asking, you know, we're now going to push boosters. We're now pushing kids into this. Have we lost our ever-loving mind?
You know, that That's a rational conclusion. You know, I've had, from the start of all of this, I've had a personal feeling that this has something to do with population control.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And you and I are in the same boat.
Well, I, you know, and people might say, oh, that's just, you know.
No, and real quick, Rebecca, just to qualify, and I'm sure you're the same, I'm not a conspiracy guy at all. In fact, I shoot a lot of them down on this program regularly on both sides right. of the aisle. I'm just not one of those guys. I want to look at the data, the facts. That's why we're called Rush to Reason. I try to look at things on a very reasonable basis. But I also know that there's been a movement for quite some time now around the world to control this, what they feel is an overpopulation of the earth. And there's not, by the way, but there's a lot of folks out there that feel there is. And I just feel like that if certain powers that be can get control over something that was made in a lab, which we now know this one was, and do some nefarious things with it, you just have to wonder if this isn't what it's all about.
Right. And population control has been around, that the idea that we're overpopulated has been around for centuries. But even more recently, for instance, Hillary Clinton, in her 2016 presidential campaign, she called a quarter of Americans an irredeemable basket
right.
of deplorables.
That's right.
And they have this elitist, it's this overbreeding working class that Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. called. And the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she said back in the 80s when she was being asked about Roe versus Wade, abortion, she talked about the concern about population growth, and particularly growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of. That was a quote
yep.
of a Supreme Court justice. So, and even abortion itself, that abortion is murder. It's clear and simple. It's murder.
It's population. And real quick, just I say this all the time, too, since I'm an employer and have things I do outside of here, Rebecca, we have literally killed off millions and millions and millions of our workforce. We wonder now why we can't get 11 million jobs full in this country. Well, I can tell you why.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Simple answer.
And actually, the U.S. Census Bureau says that our population growth rate is the lowest right now
yep.
that it's been since the nation's founding.
That's right. 1.7, and it's not enough to sustain an economy right now. We need at least 2.3, as you know, and we're a far cry from that.
Right, exactly. And so COVID, with its deaths, and then COVID vaccines with their deaths, I just see that as kind of promoting this ongoing
yeah.
lie of overpopulation,
right.
especially because we're being denied the effective COVID treatment.
That's right.
That's been developed by these
that's right.
brave doctors who are losing their positions in reputed institutions
yep.
because they're standing up for people who are otherwise dying. Oh,
yep.
Time-tested medicines like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. I heard an interview not too long ago with Dr. Pierre Corey, who is co-founder of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. He was on mm-hmm. Fox News. And he said people are dying because they're being denied these
right.
cheap, effective, widely available drugs simply because they don't present, I think he said, obscene profits to the pharmaceutical companies.
Rebecca, we've got more than one friend of this show that I can give you personal testimony of what you just said. So we know as a program that is spot on. It is happening even as we speak. It's a travesty. It should not. It's criminal. It's criminal. Should not
right.
be happening. And again, the thing that I keep wondering, I know we're getting tight on time. We'll have to have you back again to talk more about this. But I just wonder, as we move forward, especially with the children, you know,
mm-hmm.
will we find down the road that, you know, this produced issues with, you know, childbearing, sterilization, things along those lines? And again, I'm not being conspiratorial at all when I say this, because I think these are real risks that we have not determined yet.
Absolutely. Well, they don't shy away from aborting a defenseless baby in a mother's womb, from murdering a defenseless baby. So why would they shy away from putting five-year-olds in this kind of danger?
They wouldn't. The answer is, Rebecca, they wouldn't. I mean, again, this isn't,
no.
to me, this isn't that hard to figure out. And when you look at the data, and by the way, a lot of it, folks, is in this article. I encourage you to go read it. We'll put it up on our website later tonight, thenewamerican.com. And it's a great article. Go read it. I encourage you to do so. You know, you did a lot of the footwork, by the way, Rebecca, that folks like I have been, you know, trying to do, but we've got 5 million other things going on, so I never can, you know, get all these actual data. And this is a lot of work. I mean, I know how much work you put into getting this done, because this type of data doesn't come easy.
It doesn't. You have to squeeze every paragraph. Seems like I spend hours on
it. I'm sure.
There is a lot of data.
No, it's all here. And again, folks, I encourage you, go read it. And by the way, a lot of the folks that you've interviewed for your article, we've had on this program as well. So again, we speak very much the same language. And I appreciate you putting all this together and joining us today, Rebecca. And again, I we'll have you on again. And there's so much to talk about, so much to unpack. I know we can't get it all done, but I appreciate you joining us. And really, on short notice, the biggest medical experiment in history. Rebecca, you got a minute? What else do you want to add?
Well, I do want to thank you for saying that about the New American, because we do make it a point in our magazine to only address the facts. We don't talk about tinfoil hat conspiracy theories, but I'm very glad to be able to be a puller at the oar in this fight for truth. So
I appreciate
we're all
it.
In.
I appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining us. Tell Paul, who got you handled and on with us today, thank you very much as well. And I'll speak with him. We'll get you back on again.
Thanks.
Thank you very
so much,
Rebecca. Yeah. I do appreciate that. Some of you already asked for the link. We'll put that up on the website tonight. Producer Ann will do that. It's in my notes, which means it'll show up on the website later. But again, it's the biggest medical experiment in history. It's in the current issue of thenewamerican.com. You can look it up there. It's really easy. Novus Autoglass coming up next, folks. And again, with all the weather we've had rock chips, we've had snow, there's stuff on the roads because of that, and just things happen. If you've got a windshield that's been cracked, damaged, pitted, or you just need one replaced because the sun glare is just too much and you can't see through the window itself, give Novus Autoglass a call. They'll work with all the insurance companies that are out there. It's easy to find them. Go to rushtoreason.com, look for Novus, and there's a location near you.
Modern windshields help protect the occupants of your vehicle in the event of a collision, so quality counts. In today's vehicles, your windshield has become a structural component of your car. The glass requires a specific amount of pressure to keep your windshield from literally popping out during impact. Even the quality of the resin that glues your windshield to your frame can make a difference. Since they invented windshield repair in 1972, Novus Auto Glass has continued to perfect their technique. Unlike most of their competitors, Novus can repair cracks up to a foot long without sacrificing the integrity of your windshield. Industry-wide delays in the supply chain have forced manufacturers to limit the quantity of glass they sell to individual shops, so you may need to wait longer for a new windshield. The sooner you contact Novus Auto Glass, the better chance you have at saving money with a repair. Contact a Novus location near you at klzradio.com/glass.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And yeah, folks, please, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all. I don't believe in those sorts of things. If you can't factually prove something, I'm not going to talk about it. And if I do, it's going to be to counter it. But in this particular case, I just don't think you can ignore all of the facts that are going on, things that we keep seeing, the stuff behind the scenes, the real data that's there. And folks, this isn't data coming from folks that can't be verified. Everything in this article that Rebecca wrote can be verified. We've interviewed a lot of the people that she has as well. So we know firsthand this stuff exists. Where is this going? What's going to happen ultimately when it comes to these vaccines and what's going on with our population around the globe? Folks, I don't know. I don't know. We talk about it. We'll continue to talk about it. Dr. Kelly Victory will join us again tomorrow. We'll talk more about it then. But folks, all I'm going to say is just, you know, keep watching, keep listening. We'll keep giving you the information that we all drastically need. And in the meantime, Hour 2 is coming up next. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.